In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is among us. Many of you who are old enough will remember fondly of the holy woman, Mother Teresa of Calcutta. A woman who, she was a religious sister, and she ended up having she heard a voice tell her to leave the order and give her life completely to serving the most destitute, the most wretched, the most abandoned in society. And so she went into Calcutta and just started picking people up off the street who were completely abandoned and dying and suffering, diseased, picked them up, took them to a little place that she had, and began to care for them. And over time, more women saw what she was doing and joined her, became the missionaries of charity. And over time, word spread throughout the entire world about this particular woman and what she was doing. And over time, then some very wealthy people would come out and visit her. On one occasion, a very, very wealthy man came to witness what Mother Teresa was doing. And he was so moved by her work, as he was departing, he pulled out a checkbook, his checkbook, and wrote, I think it was $10,000 or maybe $100,000. And he took the check and he handed it to Mother Teresa. And Mother Teresa pushed the check back to him. She said to him, "I don't want your money. I don't need your money." And this wealthy man said to her, "Mother, I admire this work you're doing for all these very, very destitute people. This is nothing for me to give to you." And Mother Teresa looked right at him and she said, "That's why I don't want your money. There's no sacrifice attached to what you're giving." And the man immediately pulled out his checkbook and he gave some very astronomically high donation to Mother Teresa. And that story has always struck me as a true example of the meaning of sacrificial giving. Sometimes, and I will say wrongly called among Christians, tithing. Today is the third homily on the meaning, the spirituality, and the practice of stewardship, as we understand it in the Eastern Catholic tradition. And not by accident do we focus on stewardship, and we'll be doing it every year at this time, around this time, end of October, November, beginning of December. It's not by accident. As the de-Christianized society now goes into hyper-consumerism, hyper-materialism, the Eastern Church, first of all, with November 15th, begins to turn our focus on asceticism. And yes, while we don't need to do, we're not obligated yet to do the full fast on November 15th, we should though take to heart the meaning, the spirit of the season of these 40 days, and begin to cultivate in our life some kind of forms of asceticism. But also every year too, we will focus on stewardship because it stands in stark contrast to what the society around us, which is not Christian, is doing right now. So much focus on materialism and buying and selling and parties and self-indulgence. At the heart of stewardship is the realization that everything belongs to God. Your time belongs to God. That's why we give a portion to Him on Sunday mornings, and that's why we come on Friday nights. Because we realize time is a gift from Almighty God to be given back to Him. That's why you spend time in morning prayer every day personally, and you spend every evening with a little bit of time in prayer, because time belongs to God, is a gift to you and me. Your talents, as I preached last week, belong to God. Your body belongs to God. Your treasure belongs to God. They're not yours and they're not mine. But God bestows upon you and me gifts, all these gifts, to be used selflessly toward the edification of His holy body, our spiritual heavenly family. Stewardship, as I've preached the last two Sundays, is a way of life. It's not about doing more and changing certain habits. It's a way of life. It's a way of seeing. It's a way of living life, which is sacramental. It's incarnational. As stated in the homily last week regarding our time, the gifts of time and talents, stewardship is a liturgical, a Eucharistic, and an ascetic ethos. And that same ethos applies to the stewardship of treasure. Our lives are Eucharistic, and that's why they're stewardships. Literally speaking, as I said at the beginning of this homily, tithing and sacrificial giving, stewardship, they're not the same. The word tithe means literally 10%, and it was found in the Mosaic Law. And therefore, every Jewish person was obliged by the law, moral duty, compelled to give 10%. 10% of what? The first fruits of one's crops. The first lamb that would come out of the herd. Or your first dollars you made every year. And every year it happened around September or October, around the time of the harvest. Which is why the liturgical year for Eastern Christians, for Byzantines, begins on September 1st. Because the harvest had come in. It's the Jews did the same thing in the Middle East. They had the big feast day, the Feast of Harvest. The Eastern Church, following the biblical tradition, that's why they would do their harvest. Right now in October, in the higher regions of Europe, would be the harvest. You want to know Halloween? Go back and see the history of Halloween. It was the pagans getting together and doing rituals in thanksgiving to the gods who gave them a crop, but also as they're going into wintertime, they began to scare away the evil spirits so they could have a good crop the next year. That's what Halloween's all about. So all September and October all was centered on this receiving the crops. But the point is, in September and October, there'll be an accounting. And you would give the first fruits back to the God, the true God, or to different deities. The sense of tithing, though, changed with the New Testament. Charity became the rule. Due to the selfless living giving of Jesus of Nazareth, we are simply called to be as generous as possible, under no compulsion, under no moral obligation, under no law. As one cannot put a price tag on the sacrifice of Jesus of Nazareth on the cross, no one can put a price tag on how generous one ought to be to God and His church. Isn't that what we learn from today's parable? The Samaritan, he just said, take care of this man and I'll be as generous as needed to get him back to health. This, my brothers and sisters, is the meaning of sacrificial love. And that's why sacrificial giving and tithing are not the same. And we really, in our history, didn't speak of tithing. These are new phenomena that come out of Protestants, but we didn't ever talk like this. For the baptized person, selfless love is the motivation that you and I give. Not some law, not some moral obligation, it's not some duty. I recall when I'm in my first parish, about an old pastor. He'd been pastor of his parish for some 40 years, and he was a master at stewardship. He really cultivated in his people a way of life, the giving of one's time and talent, treasure and body to God, the church, and to one another. And every year he'd remind the people of this essential truth. God does not need your money, your talents, your treasure, but you and I have the need to give. And what did he mean? Sacrificial giving reminds you and me that what we have is not by our own efforts. What you and I have ultimately come as a gift from Almighty God, a gift out of his own gratuitous love. Giving back to God in a sacrificial way demonstrates concretely a certain truth. Nothing that you and I have can be called mine. Everything you and I have belongs to God. And therefore, with Holy Job, we say the words, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return." In a consumerist culture of which you and I live and participate, sacrificial giving is a contradiction in terms. The life of stewardship, practicing that, protects you and me, guards you and me from being drawn into the selfish mode of living. In fact, giving back to God generously a portion of one's income is also an act of trust that God will take care of you. You can let go. God's going to provide always, always, for what you need. Maybe not what you want, maybe not what you desire, but you will always have what you need. And sometimes we need to be poor, and sometimes we need to encounter the poor. Because when you and I are poor, we can allow other people to be charitable. And when you and I meet the poor person, it gives you and me to act like Christ and be selfless. Many of us can relate to the parable of the rich man who had an abundant crop that one year, and he decided to build larger and larger barns and silos to hold this abundant crop, the surplus grain. And then Jesus of Nazareth gave out very strong warning to those who store up, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you, and to whom will all your things go?" To use a contemporary example, consider the amount of money people spend and even go into debt at this time of the year on Christmas shopping, Christmas gifts, Christmas traveling, Christmas decorations, Christmas parties. And for a moment, just consider, is that kind of debt and spending proportional to how much you give to God and his church? Jesus of Nazareth presented the model of self-sacrificial giving on that day when he was in the temple, surrounded by his disciples. And he watched all these people coming into the temple dressed in their nice fine clothes. And he'd walk up and in show of display, drop some money into the collection for the poor and the collection of the temple. And then all of a sudden, this little old widow came in. And she dropped in just a couple of coins. Literally translated from the Greek into the English, it'd be something like 2 pennies. 2 pennies, literally. And the Lord said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, that poor widow put in more than all the others." All those other people gave out of their excess, but she gave out of her poverty. She gave of her livelihood. And that's what Mother Teresa was teaching the wealthy man. Soon an appeal letter will be sent to each and every registered household of the outreach. Your selfless giving makes possible the pre-salary. And thanks be to God, I began by getting $500, went to $1,500. But a priest should be making for his living expenses $2,200. So we still have some way to go. But thank you, but thanks be to God for the generosity so far. But we also have bills to pay, and we have our own expenses, and we are trying to say, we are saving money and building up our building fund for our future sacred temple and parish hall. But as you look to the calendar year 2023, and you prepare your budget for the year, be sure to always mark out a budget, a line item for charitable giving. It should be divided up into three areas of giving: to your parish, to the eparchy, and to whatever charitable donation, charitable works out there you want to support. Pro-life group, the food shelter, a food bank, homeless shelter, whatever it might be. But you should budget that. Put aside the money. Look at your budget for the next year and say, this money, you look at what you're doing, whatever you're going to do, and say, okay, and this portion does not belong to us. This is God's money to be used for His works, His parish, His church, His eparchy, and those works of charity. It's not your money. Don't look at it that way. To the outreach, it's hope that during the calendar year of 2023, each and every household will consider giving minimally 5 to 8% of your income. It's too much. At least take on the challenge of saying, well, if you gave this much this year, can you give 1% more that you did than last this year? Can you give 2% more? Whatever it might be. If you didn't give anything, then begin on the road to stewardship. What's expressed in all this is not so much what the giving is going to be different for every single person and every single family. But where everybody can be equal in is the sacrificial giving, the generosity. And as you begin to consider prayerfully over these next weeks about how you will give in the coming year of 2023, I leave you the words of the Apostle Paul, quote, "Each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly and not under compulsion, for God loves a generous giver."